sometimes the annual cost can be pretty high. So as you can see on the stat here, the estimates suggest an average of 5.47 million for companies worldwide for IT compliances. This is, as I said, there are multiple companies. So companies like ServiceNow, companies like SAS, they have certain products which are meant for compliance. So there is something called as GCM, that is Governance Compliance Management. Now, this is one particular piece of software which helps organization to document procedures, ensuring that the changes are recorded, etc., etc. Hence, the organization spend on these kind of compliance software increases. And then there are variations by the industries. So financial sector companies or organizations have a higher cost when it comes to spends on compliance as compared to, say, a manufacturing company. Also, it depends upon the nature of business, where exactly it operates, etc., etc. But almost what, 31 million cost was spent by financial companies for compliance. Small and mid-sized businesses are more impacted by these costs as compared to the large ones, and there's a reason for that. So small companies would have typical lower cost of operations, right? And if the cost of compliance is too high, then it means the revenue that the company makes after cutting down the cost of compliance is a little challenging for them to show profits. The SOC Act, aimed at restoring investor confidence, has a very high implementation cost. Although we understand that some of the procedures of the SOC Act are absolutely required, but for a small enterprise or a startup, the cost of implementation can be humongous. Various factors contribute to these high costs, including diverse interpretation of rules. So a clearly set of laid down rules in the act might be differently interpreted by, say, a small company vis-a-vis a large enterprise, the learning curves, and some of the redundant actions. The IT costs over time include the investments in the new softwares, as I gave the example of the GCM software, the leasing fees, the services for implementation, and the internal label cost to measure, manage, maintain, and operate the softwares continually. Also, there are direct costs involved. So for the software, procuring the software, procuring the hardware, or if it is deployed in cloud, then doing a cloud-based deployment. But more importantly, for the internal employees to get trained on how to conform to the standards. And then there are certain indirect costs also involved, which include the end user operations, management efforts. As we said, the guidance has to be top down. So the management efforts in ensuring that compliances are met, peer support, learning, application development, data management, and downtime. So now let us look at some of the challenges of compliances. Having looked at the role of IT, the benefits, the challenges, let's look at this particular topic. So some of the top challenges when it comes to compliance are, first, managing the high cost, right? So we saw what are the contributing factors to the cost. So managing the cost is a very crucial challenge. Handling multiple regulations year on year. So as we said, this is not a one-time activity. It keeps on going. So handling these regulations you need to set up a specialized team which have the specialized roles. Technology landscape getting changed. Depending upon the industry regulations, there are certain rules laid by the regulators when it comes to say healthcare or finance. We spoke about HIPP, HIPAA Act in the healthcare industry, or we spoke about the finance industries where you have things like, say, the GDPR compliance, you have IFRS 9, INDS reporting standards, etc. So it depends upon the nature of the industry as well. Different industry compliances that you can see on the screen. So you have the PCI standard. So this is for the payment card industry. The HIPAA security rule. So this is for the healthcare industry. So 18 administrative, physical, technical safeguard requirements. The US Fed also has certain security management rules. You can read the rest yourself, but the important ones to focus are the GDPR, the PCI DSS, the payment card industry data security standards, and the HIPAA. So anywhere in the IT industry, these are, you would see it used by the compliance office to ensure that vendors get shortlisted if they fall in this particular category. That is, they are certified with HIPAA or PCI DSS, etc. Although IT is playing an increased role in the compliance, technology challenges create difficulties when implementing a compliance program. Technology challenges could be, say, not adequate skills in place, or outdated match to the compliance needs, or the long-term goals for compliance are not really met with the current hardware setup. So these are some of the technology challenges. Say you have the hardware which is pretty old, and the new software needs, say, a new kind of hardware. So then it's technological obsolescence. Limited understanding of the needs of the non-IT department. I mean, although we said that compliance is for everyone, but for non-IT who doesn't understand the rules, so if they have limited understanding, that could be a challenge as well. Limitations of application to scale for the long-term needs. Lack of skilled resources, we spoke about that. Both technical skills as well as domain skills required for the compliance goals. Lack of knowledge of IT tools, it could be one of the challenges as well. Let us look at compliance and classification of compliance. So compliance system and procedures in a company, as mentioned earlier, depend upon, say, the nature of business. We saw that compliance could be different for different entities, depending upon the nature of business, the nature of the company, whether it's private, limited, public, the range of business activities, whether it's global, local, jurisdiction in which it operates. So let us now look at the categories and classification of compliance. So, as we said, the category of compliance depends upon the nature of the business, the manpower, the reach, the size of the business, the technology it is used, and the regulations with regards to the local market. So, any corporate compliance management should broadly include the compliance of several laws categorized under different heads. So this is not an exhaustive list, and maybe you can look at it at your free time. So the Companies Act 1956, it's an act in India which is very popular even for entities doing business now. MLMs and NAMEs, so prevention of improper use. So that's an act of 1947. The Foreign Exchange Act, Conservation of Foreign Exchange Act, Special Economic Zone Act 2005, Money Laundering Act. This came into effect in 2002 after we saw some major money laundering issues. The Commodities Act of 1955. More importantly are the new age acts like the Data Protection Act, the IT or the intellectual property laws. Now, this is gaining real importance because of the way things happen. So if you have built something and it is your intellectual property, then how can someone else not steal it? So that is a important consideration. And intellectual property is one of the most important topics when it comes to compliance and law regulations. Then there are certain other acts. So when we talk about the Securities Act, so there is the SEBI Act of 1992, the Contracts Regulation Act of 1956, the SOC Act of 2002, the Depositories Acts of 1996 and so on. Industry-specific act for banking, for say the manufacturing industry, for insurance, and as I said, so the rules or the compliances for different industry are different based on the nature of business. So the manufacturing company would have industry-specific laws. So the commercial commercial laws, maybe it will be transfer of say the Property Act, the Indian Contract Act, the Sale of Goods Act and so on. Sorry, I'm just quickly skimming through because you just need to know what are these, and the course doesn't want us to go in details about these acts. So the Income Tax Act of 1961, so these are more fiscal related. The Customs Act, the Central Excise Act, now the GST is coming to picture, so this no longer exists, and then the Service Tax Act and so on. When it comes to labor laws, there are certain acts in place, so like the Minimum Wages Act. Now as per this, what it says is if an organization with a certain revenue and certain number of employees under it, what is the minimum wage to be guaranteed? Similarly, you have the PF, that is a Provident Fund Act, and the Pension Act. Then there is a Factories Act, which says that in a factory, what are the working conditions, what are the benefits that the workers get, and so on. There's the Workmen's Compensation Act as well. There's a Gratuity Act, PF Act, etc. So these are all acts more related towards the labor laws. Similarly, as we said, depending upon the nature of business, industries in, say, the pollution, environment-related acts are the Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act of 1981, the Water Act, that is the Prevention and Control of Pollution again, 1974, the Water Cess Act, that is the Prevention and Control of Pollution of 1974, Pollution Environment Protection Act of 86, Public Liability Insurance Act of 1991, and very recently, I mean not recently, but then you have the Green Tribunal Act. So not cutting down trees, ensuring that the green environment is maintained. So you would see, say, the BMC ensuring that if a tree gets cut, then a certain penalty has to be paid, etc. So compliance categories can be defined as mandatory and non-mandatory. So like we earlier discussed that sometimes it's good to have and a must have. So compliance categories are classified as mandatory and non-mandatory, vertical or horizontal, certified or non-certified. Mandatory compliance are enforced by legal requirements such as regulations or standards, and any failures to comply can result into penalties, violation, loss of trust, legal repercussions as well. Non-mandatory compliances are driven by client expectations. So it's more inside out. So we want to adhere to those compliances to ensure that our processes are in place, the quality of the products are certified. So it's more of an internal business driver, often varied by certification of seals of compliance from individual agencies. The horizontal safety apply to product services or procedures across different industries. So procedures like ISO certification for quality management and so on. The vertical standards are industry specific. So as we saw, say ITSM for service management framework for IT, where there is a service management framework for doing identity management, root cause analysis, problem management, change management, incident management, and so on. So these are more procedures which are more industry specific. And since we are talking about IT compliance, I thought I'll talk about these. Certifiable standards require regular internal monitoring. We saw that it's not a one-time effort, and assessment by independent third-party auditors, leading to certification from certifying bodies, ensuring that compliance assurance to customers. Non-certifiable standards like, say, ISO for information security management provide guidelines and procedures for specific purposes and environments without a formal certification in place. Maybe a good to have, but organization generally would prefer to have so that to build reputation and credibility with their customers. Examples include, say, ISO 9004. So while ISO 27001 and 27018, 17 are mandated, ISO 27004 may be a good to have for performance improvement. Say ITIL frameworks for service management framework and say quality management certifications, like we spoke about 27001 regarding information security. So just to summarize, compliance is a continuous effort. It's not a one-time effort, involving different bodies led by the compliance office and the compliance officer. But it's although it's an initiative of the compliance office, and everyone in the organization, right from the top management to the low-level employees, are required to ensure the compliance in place. Compliance categories could be mandatory and non-mandatory. So good to have, must have, vertical or horizontal. Any corporate compliance management should include compliance of various laws under the different heads. So depending upon the nature of business, etc. The annual average cost of 2002, we saw some estimates what were the spend on compliance. We also saw that compliance cost for financial sector industry would be high as compared to, say, the manufacturing sector companies. The cost of regulatory compliance can be a burden, and it could drain out the resources, sometimes even in well-run businesses, not just for small or mid-sized companies. We looked at some of the benefits of compliance. So it prevents penalties, brings customer confidence, gives quality to the products, cost savings, and avoiding public embarrassments so that the brand reputation is maintained. It helps to mitigate risks, protect sensitive information, maintain trust with the different stakeholders, avoid legal consequences and reputational damage. So with this, we come to the end of this particular topic. I hope this has been informative to you, and I'd like to thank you for viewing.